In our strong executive form of government, the balance of power seems to tip in favor of the office of governor. He or she oversees state agencies, sets the budget, approves or vetoes bills. The list continues. Former Governor Bob Wise says that wide power is necessary in a small state with a non-professional, part-time legislature. Someone needs to be there to lead in times of crisis, someone who also has the powers that allow him or her to act. But House Minority Leader Tim Armstead says the governor's office is gaining more and more power over time, and not because that's how it's written in the Constitution.
I think the legislature's kind of ceded some of its power to the governor and kind of deferred a little too much to the governor. And I'm not sure that that's necessarily a factor of what the Constitution gives the governor in terms of power, but just how much we've kind of given up power and authority of the legislature to the governor, almost voluntarily in a lot of ways.
Armstead believes the legislature is essentially giving some of its authority to the governor because typically he and legislative leaders are from the same political party. He says they defer to him when it comes to policy stances and budget priorities.
And a lot of it, I think, has been a factor of, you know, the same party being in control in both those, and they don't want to stand up to the governor in that sense.
Wise sees other areas where the strength of the legislature is slipping, like the power to override a veto. That constitutional power has been in question in recent weeks because of a lack of clarity.
They absolutely do have the right to override if they get their work done on time.
In the press, even here at West Virginia Public Radio, there is continuous coverage of the chaos of the final night of the legislative session. The last-minute debates and compromises, the votes that get squeezed in right before midnight. The whole thing can be exciting and exhausting, but Wise says it doesn't have to be that way. Now, this is where it gets complicated, but bear with me. This is important. For an explanation, we go back to the Constitution. Article 6 sets out legislative powers and says after a bill is passed, the governor has 5 days to consider the bill. If he chooses to veto the legislation, it returns to its originating chamber, where 2/3 of the member can vote to override that veto. It then goes to the opposite house for the same vote, and if both houses agree, the veto is overridden. But that's only when the legislature is still in session. If lawmakers adjourn sine die as they do at the end of each budget session, the governor has 15 days to approve or reject a bill. But there's no mention in the article of how to override that decision then. Essentially, Wise believes by waiting until the final night to pass a majority of the bills, as lawmakers often do, the legislature is giving up their constitutional power to override a veto.
The governor's veto power is not unique. I mean, every governor has some veto power, and the president of the United States. What really needs to be looked at then, to me, is does the legislature have the tools it needs in order to be able to perform its functions in a timely manner, in a quality manner, and is the legislature acting in a timely fashion?
Wise maintains lawmakers are working on bills throughout the interim sessions, and often they are pieces of legislation that aren't coming up for the first time. There are typically a large number of bills being reconsidered that didn't pass in previous sessions and are reworked during the legislative process.
What is critical, though, in this balance of power is, yes, the governor should be the strong executive, but the legislature should make sure that the legislature has the tools that it needs in staff, in materials, whatever it needs, in order to perform its functions, too. When both are able to function at their maximum productivity and effectiveness, then we get the best government.
Armstead says even if lawmakers were able to more evenly spread out the passage of bills and get more through before the final night, you'd still have those pieces of legislation that aren't passed until the end, whether because they're complex, they're political, or just because of timing. One arena the governor holds a majority of the authority in is setting the budget. His office sets the revenue estimates for the fiscal year, giving the legislature a parameter to work within. His office creates its own budget, setting the policy priorities for funding, which the legislature can change. But the governor can ultimately go back in and strike out or change any amount by exercising a line item veto. That's what we saw last month when Tomlin was criticized for slashing $67 million from family and senior services. Gubernatorial budget powers were expanded in 1968 with the passage of a constitutional amendment benefiting then-Republican Governor Arch Moore. His modern budget amendment meant for the first time the governor and his staff would fully prepare the proposed budget, as opposed to the governor and the Board of Public Works coming to an agreement on spending. The amendment at the time was ratified by the people of the state, but that's after the legislature approved it. Giving away more of their influence? It's debatable. Ted Bettner, executive director for the West Virginia Center on Budget and Policy, said in an interview in January, the governor's powers in the budget realm should be dispersed more evenly with the legislature. He says that makes the process more democratic and more transparent. But Senate Finance Chairman Roman Prezioso says the governor's office needs to have that power.
The governor is the CEO. It's no different from any big business or corporation where you have an individual that's the head of the company. It's that person's responsibility to set the parameters and the guidelines for their particular industry, and it's no different for the governor setting the parameters and guidelines for the state of West Virginia. Somebody has to do it. He is bound to work with the agencies to determine their best function and efficiency and then present that budget to us.
Wise says the line item veto, which he estimates he exercised twice in his tenure, is also a check on lawmakers who may stray from the bigger picture.
What it also does is it permits the governor to remove some spending that might look good to an individual legislator, but not so good for the overall budget, or perhaps is what some people might call pork.
The constitutional requirement to balance the budget also falls on the shoulders of the governor, Wise says. And in tough economic times, when the legislature isn't around, the executive needs to be able to make decisions to balance the budget.